Hi, my name is Michael Leworthy. I'm a product manager in the Windows Server and System Center team, and today I want to talk about some of the new web and application platform enhancements and technologies that we now introduce in Windows Server 2012. Before I do that, I just really want to sort of set the scene around the transformational trends that we're now seeing in today's industry and the way that we're really answering some of our customers' challenges when it comes to a number of new things that we're seeing in organizations. You can see that, you know, you as a customer, you as a partner, you as a consumer of IT, are really starting to see some challenges in the way that you define your data center, meet the needs of your, you know, customers, meet the needs of your internal IT, meet the needs of the people that are using your application and your infrastructure. And we see this in four big trends or observational trends. The onset of cloud computing and how you use cloud computing in your organization. When here we're not talking specifically public cloud, such as Azure or hosted. We're also talking about cloud computing in your organization as well, abstracting the management, hardware, OS layers, and providing that fabric to allow you to really create a self-service oriented IT infrastructure, you know, for your company. We're also looking at things such as the consumerization of IT. What do I mean by this? It means the whole idea of, you know, where before we used to have the, you know, single PC on the desk, and that's exactly how I access the systems. As an IT admin, I could control that, I could secure that, I could manage it, I could patch it, I could determine the exact experience for that user. But now that's changed. Now our users are bringing their own devices to work. They want to use a single device both for social and work, and they want exactly the same experience as they get from their laptops, their mobile devices, their tablets, their PC. And that brings some challenges around, of course, like how do I secure that? How do I ensure that the information that I can secure on their PC, I can secure that on their tablet, their mobile phone? How do I ensure their experience is the same as well? And it's one of the challenges that really Microsoft is going after and providing great solutions around supporting the consumerization of IT, providing secure experiences across the multitude of devices, really allowing the bring your own device scenario for your end users. We're also seeing a data explosion. I mean, data is just exploding at this prodigious rate. And with that comes management of data. We need faster storage. We need more cost-efficient storage. We need better ways to manage storage. We're also seeing, you know, great new ways of how to use that data explosion, not just from the storage level, but how do we make intelligent decisions based on the vast amount of data that we're now collecting in our organizations. We're seeing some incredible advances in technologies such as our SQL Server BI platform to really help you make very informed decisions for your IT organizations. We're also seeing a lot more new social and application patterns. And modern development is key now to keeping up with competition, to keeping up with the needs of our users, the needs of our application owners, the needs of our organizations. We need to get faster to market, faster to internal, be able to deploy those on very fluid and agile systems, and be able to support all the vast needs of our organizations. And we do this with Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center 2012 R2 in three great areas around compute, virtualization of your workloads, virtualization of your infrastructure, virtualization of your network, and virtualization of your storage, really providing that fabric level view to allow you to really abstract away from that one application, one server view, the monolithic view, and really evolve your data center into a highly agile virtual data center that allows you to expand and grow to meet the needs of your business at any time. We see great advances in storage, both performance, agility, and resiliency. Of course, big advancements in software-defined networking around network virtualization. But really today, what I wanted to talk about was how our new web application platform really fits within the Cloud OS, which is the modern platform for the world's apps. Exactly what I was talking about, providing that core infrastructure to support the data explosion, the consumerization of IT, to be able to support the new modern data centers, to be able to support modern applications and social applications. And we provide four key areas around the Cloud OS. Our technology transforms the data center, in many ways moving the unit of compute from a single server to the data center level. And customers need infrastructure which provides this generational leap of agility, elasticity, and scalability across a set of shared resources with more automation and more self-service. We're also seeing customers are focused on enabling these modern applications. You know, as I mentioned before, today's apps really need to interact with other applications built on multiple platforms and, of course, multiple languages. And they need to live on-premise and off-premise and also be delivered out to a multiple numbers of devices. With the explosion of data, customers really need a platform that unlocks the insights on any data. And to better compete, customers also need to tap into the growing data volume levels, especially with unstructured data or big data, to really ask those new questions and discover new data sources. And they can combine these with existing data sets for new insights. We're really trying to understand the whole idea of the proliferation of a range of new devices, and companies really need to empower people-centric IT. Now, today's users expect to be productive on any device that they choose and whatever device they choose. Now, and IT really needs to easily manage their devices and securely deliver apps and data in this extended mobile environment. Now, providing the cloud OS built on Windows Server, System Center, expanding with SQL, Azure, and a number of other our technologies, we really provide one consistent platform that can meet the needs of transforming the data center, unlocking the insights of any data, empowering people-centric IT, and also enabling modern applications. And we have great experience in cloud technology. What do I mean by that? Well, we have first-party cloud experience. We build for the cloud. Outlook, Office, Xbox Live, Bing, CRM Online, MSN are using our own cloud-based technologies, technologies that we built in Windows Server, technologies that are running in Windows Azure, technologies which are now providing the platform for many of these services. I mean, we run over 200 online services to hundreds of millions of people globally, 24/7. We consume data from these data centers to drive real rich analytics and to improve the customer experience. And really, we take all that learning from big cloud architecture and big cloud infrastructure supporting millions and millions and millions of people, and we bring that back into our Windows Server environment. And we extend both Windows Server and Azure learning from each other, building from each other. So when we say our Cloud OS is supporting this, this is what we really mean. We build for the cloud. We're ready for the cloud, both on-premise and public. So let's take a couple of those steps in understanding how Windows Server 2012 R2 really provides great new technology features as part of this bringing the learnings from the cloud into your data center and how the new web application platform takes advantage of that. If you look at the core areas of R2, I look to break it down into five nice areas. One, high performance storage on industry standard hardware. What do I mean by that? I mean embedded file and storage services that can provide these active on technologies, really phenomenal solutions to provide always on, resilient, agile, and cost-effective storage that your mission-critical applications require. I then extend that with things like software-defined networking. This really allows me to create multi-tenant environments with isolation, supporting a multiple number of challenges that I may face in my organization today. How do I move a workload from one subnet to another, but keep its IP address. Network virtualization is the answer to that. How do I ensure that I can have two divisions or two companies, if I'm a hoster, that are sharing the same IP subnet? Network virtualization really provides that multi-tenant isolation that provides that. And really more, things like cross-connectivity or cross-premise connectivity allow me to extend my data center into the public cloud, into Azure, into a hoster, and use my IP address, not the hoster's IP address. Really providing that great benefit for our customers. We're also looking at things like policy-based automation in R2, the ability to things like dynamic optimization, your ability for your data center to automatically configure itself based on the exact need of an application at that time. So no longer do I have to respond to an outage, no longer do I have to respond to a capacity high. My systems can automatically do that based on the policies and the rules that I set up as the IT administrator. So as applications require more infrastructure, if I provide permission to do that, of course, because I again own the process of this, but if I say this application can grow because it's a mission critical application, I don't have to be sitting at the back end plugging new hard drives in, plugging new servers in, creating new OSs. I can actually let the system grow that application needs, the capacity requirements at that time. So again, dynamic optimization is a core inbuilt technology that we really built in the cloud and we now provide in our Windows Server platform. Some other great things that are more prevalent for our web application, of course, is multi-tenant environments as isolation. Out of the box, we provide great new ways to deploy the Windows Server OS with Server Core, a very light footprint without a GUI that allows you just to run the Server OS, reducing the footprint, reducing the management infrastructure. It still has all the capability of what you would expect. In fact, in Windows Server 2012 R2, we have two ways to deploy this. You can deploy it with a GUI or without a GUI. Right, and generally you're going to deploy your Windows Server infrastructure without a GUI and use management tools to manage many of your servers across that fabric. We talked about Hyper-V network virtualization, which really provides that multi-tenant isolation that allows me to create this virtual networking or this software-defined networking. And we now support websites and VMs as part of our Windows and System Center integration with a new technology we call the Windows Azure Pack, taking the code, the experience, the environment that we've developed in Windows Azure around simple self-service IaaS, inbuilt scalable websites, and a bunch of other things, and providing that as technology, as an expansion to your Windows Server and System Center environment. Phenomenal for the web and application platform, and we'll talk a lot about that as we move through. And of course, around application elasticity, the idea that I can actually create a very repeatable, scalable way to deploy an application. I don't have to sit in front of a server with a DVD anymore or with an executable and deploy that application to a server. I can create a repeatable service template, basically a template of that application, and then deploy that application time and time again when it is needed. So think I can deploy my SQL tier or my DB tier. If I have a CRM application, I can create a template of this and deploy that CRM application for my HR department, and then deploy the same CRM application for my sales department utilizing the same easy out-of-the-box template. I can use this template to scale both up and down. Basically, it has the rules, the regulations, the process to be able to say, all right, here's the OS settings I need. Here are the application settings I need. Here are the database settings I need. This is how I can scale this application through 1, 2, 50, 100 instances based on the capacity needed at the time. And of course, many others. But today, we're here to talk about web hosting with Windows Server 2012 R2. And the way I like to start about this is I like to think about modern web hosting scenarios. And effectively, you're going to have enterprise web hosting, where you're probably going to have a more dedicated infrastructure. You're going to have a single enterprise tenant. Now, you may have multiple divisions using your hosted environment, but effectively, you're going to treat this as a single enterprise tenant. And then also, we have the shared web cloud hosting, which is almost the has infrastructure view. Now, as an organization, as an enterprise organization, you actually might have both of these. You actually might have a shared web cloud hosting infrastructure and also a very dedicated one. As a hoster, you may have these as well. You may have a very dedicated web hosting infrastructure and a very shared web cloud hosting infrastructure. The great thing here is that the characteristics of these enable you to use the power of Windows Server 2012 R2 to support many of these scenarios, such as high customization. You know, as an enterprise, my divisions may need a very specific way that they want their web infrastructure supported. As a hoster, I can also provide that out of the box in a very reserved way for specific customers. You know, if I'm looking at highly shared multi-tenant, you know, I can see that from a service provider point of view. I want to be able to support thousands of customers. I want to be able to share my infrastructure across those customers, but ensure that multi-tenancy is fully secured, fully optimized, and you know, fully restricted from each other. That same characteristic I may want internally as well. I want to be able to provide that sort of hosted solution for multiple numbers of divisions. Maybe if I'm utilizing some sort of self-service deployment, maybe modern application development, where you know an application team is coming in to develop, you know, they need an environment to develop a new modern application. That type of scenario works really well in that shared web cloud hosting world. So let's jump into some of the great new technologies that we see around web hosting in Windows Server 2012 R2. Now, you can see here that I've sort of split this up between enterprise web hosting and shared web cloud hosting. And we'll talk through that as we go through. But again, just to remind you, it doesn't really matter if you're a customer, if you're an enterprise customer, you know, or whether you're a web hoster. These things are interchangeable based on your customer's needs, your end user's needs. So some of the great things we're seeing around enterprise web hosting, and I'll go a little bit deeper in this, but I like to call these out early on, is things like CPU throttling, which really ensures the noisy neighbor scenario goes away, when I can really start controlling applications that might go a little bit wiry or a little bit out of control so they don't affect other applications. There, of course, there are going to be some applications where I want to ensure they have priority CPU access, especially if they're mission critical applications. But you know, there might be some applications which get a little noisy for whatever reason. I want to ensure that I can protect them in a bubble so they don't affect any other shared infrastructure. Application initialization, really improving my user experience and first request. We all hate the little things spinning, waiting for a website. And even though websites have got faster, and internet's got faster, and connections got faster, I can actually still improve that experience for my end user, provide them some sort of information, some sort of experience, maybe why their application is actually loading up. Dynamic FTP and IP restrictions are really there to block unwanted access, be able to really secure your systems. If I look at our shared web cloud hosting, server name indicator, you know, the whole idea of one IP versus for one application, you know, just means we use so many of the IPv4 IP address range. When I can actually now have a single IP address share multiple numbers of domains, multiple numbers of customers. So that's really great. So I can have customer A.com, customer B.com, and customer C.com actually all share the same IP address and be able to route them securely to their web hosting environments. NUMA, the ability to now utilize the hardware to really increase performance across my multiple numbers of web hosting solutions, which we'll go quite deeper into it as well. Things like centralized SSL store, making it easy for me to update the certificates in my environment from a single repository. The Windows Azure Pack, which I mentioned before, delivering, you know, websites as a service out of the box. Out of the box, you basically install Windows Server, install Windows System Center, install the Windows Azure Pack, a little bit of configuration, you have a phenomenal self-service experience, and I'll show some examples of that before. We also have some phenomenal supporting features, which I'm going to go through as we get through here. But let's go delve into it. Let's first look at our enterprise web hosting and some of the new ways that we're doing this. And when I think about enterprise web hosting, I think of three really key things. I want to help ensure that no single web application affects the performance of others. Because I'm in a very reserved or you know, a very tight environment, I might actually be, I might have, these types of applications that require mission critical support, require 24/7 access, require, incredible resiliency and availability. And I'd want to ensure that these applications, if a fault occurs or something, if they're getting overworked or overcapacitized, they don't affect the applications or the performance of any other applications that is hosted on that environment. I want to improve the user experience as a first request, of course. And also I want to set policies to block unwanted access. And we talked quickly about some of these CPU throttling, application initialization, and the dynamic FTP and IP restrictions quickly before. Let's take that one step into them and understand a little bit more about them. So let's first start with CPU throttling. Now, in previous versions of Windows Server, before Windows Server 2012, there were many ways to manage the memory, network, and disk size, but not input-output, right? And per the Internet Information Services application pool. Now, with Windows Server 2012 R2 and its IIS CPU throttling, I can now set the maximum CPU consumption allowed per application pool. So what does this mean? Well, this actually means, if you think here that in this earlier scenario, if I had multiple tenants sharing my single application pool, and one of those tenants got a little bit noisy, you would see that I would have this sort of issue in the slow performance of an application. Now, what I want to now do in what we now provide in Windows Server 2012, Windows Server 2012 R2, is the ability for me to do performance throttling. So let's have a look at exactly what that means. I can actually set, per my application pool, the actual throttling limits based on user characteristics at the time. So this is really good for shared hosting, where I can ensure that sort of noisy neighbor aspects as well. I can actually sort of define this as per a percentage. I can define this in a tier. I can say this is a gold tier, a silver tier, and bronze tier. But my basic component here is I can actually now set that throttling limit for that application pool to ensure that if it goes above it, I can actually reduce the amount of CPU allocation that's given to that application. So it just makes it a lot more easier to really define sandboxes for my applications. Our next component is around application initialization. And as I said before, it's frustrating when you're loading up a web application that's just sitting there spinning for whatever reason. And our web applications, our users just want these to respond instantly. And we want to respond instantly to those first web requests. And if an application isn't ready, IIS can now intelligently choose a static web page to show the user why the application starts. So you can actually set this up effectively initialize an application on demand when it receives the first request, and then to send the request to an application immediately after IIS starts. So this idea here is the request simulates a request from a user to a page that you specify, causing the ASP.NET to compile the application if necessary and then start it. And application developers can actually create custom pages designed specifically to initialize all aspects of the application. You can also configure IIS to return static content such as a HTML page or a placeholder or a splash page while ASP.NET starts that application. And you can also use IIS services URL rewrite module to provide different static pages based on the specific URL requested by the user. The great thing here is that just enables me to be respondent and interactive with the user based on their usage at the time. So our user can actually be utilizing parts of my application or actually have interactivity, have an experience why this application is loading, so they're not moving away, especially important if I'm a sales organization and this is my sales experience, I would ensure I capture that user's attention while I may be loading a very rich environment for them. Now, we talked a lot about isolation and security, and one of the great things is around dynamic IP restrictions. And dynamic IP restrictions does a bunch of things. One, it protects servers from denial of service attacks by automatically blocking potential harmful IP addresses. And the dynamic IP address filtering for blocking is based on two things. It's based on a specific number of requests or a number of connection attempts during a specified period. And I can determine exactly what they are. You can see some examples here as well. And you can configure this as a static rule based on a client's IP address or a dynamic rule based on, you know, dynamic rules based on usage. And you can see it's very, very simple to go in and configure my domain restrictions, the actual action types, and exactly the type of restrictions that I have. So you can really now set up filters to automatically block potential harmful IP addresses. And it's dynamic restriction is completely available as an option through our server manager. Another one around secure isolation, of course, is the restriction of FTP logon attempts. And what does this really do? Well, it reduces the vulnerability of attack, of course. I mean, it dynamically limits the number of logon attempts. And also, it allows my server to block access from malicious users. So my FTP connection can be forcibly closed, or the offending client's IP address can actually be blocked from the FTP service for a configured period. And of course, it logs files and tracks suspicious logon attempts. Again, really trying to reduce that vulnerability of attack if you need to provide FTP services, whether internally or a hoster. And the good thing about here is it dynamically, both the FTP restrictions and the dynamic IP blocking, as it says, does this dynamically. You can set up the swim lanes, you can set up the characteristics, and then the server will be there guarding that for you, protecting you for you. If it sees something malicious, it will block it down and allow you to respond to that. So let's actually now move into a little bit more around shared web cloud hosting and some of the technologies that we saw in there. Now, if you think about our shared web cloud hosting, we thought about, you know, how do we really configure high density websites? And multi-tenancy is that big term that describes when a single instance of a software really serves dozens or even hundreds of users or customers simultaneously. Now, if you think about a tenant is any application either inside or outside the enterprise that needs its own secure and exclusive virtual computing environment. So multi-tenancy is much more efficient than the older server hosting model where the ratio of a server customer is 1-to-1. But there's some challenges in multi-tenant environments, isolation and security. I mean, it's a frequent concern if you're a customer, whether a hosting customer or internal customer, is my data secure? What we want to ensure is that out of the box, you can provide complete multi-tenant isolated security. What about scalability? It's not as easy to scale up suddenly in managing your own data center servers and hiring people around, you know, for support SaaS infrastructure. You need scale built completely out of the box in a high-density website. Things like centralized support, resource mechanisms to reduce hardware, software, and management costs of each of the tenant. I need to be able to create a policy that is automated across the multiple numbers of my servers, my multiple numbers of my tenants. Simplified management is just an extension of that. You know, I want to be able to have a mechanism to support a tenant-specific access, the user interface, access control, process, and data models. And of course, extensibility. I want to give each tenant the ability to, you know, have its own database to extend their data object model to meet their needs. And these are some of the challenges that we've seen, you know, that you can see in high density websites. Now, within Windows Server 2012 R2, we have a number of technologies that really can meet the needs of these challenges. We talked about isolation and security with Hyper-V virtual networking, and you can learn lots more about that in, of course, the virtualization presentation. But I want to focus on three core areas here. The server name indicator, centralized SSL certificate support, and NUM escapability, or scalability. So let's talk about server name indicator or server name indication. What is it? Well, it helps organizations to support the increased density of secure sites, which in turn enables greater scalability of these sites. So SNI offers a couple of different key features. It uses the virtual domain name to identify the networking endpoint. It allows the use of fewer instances of IPv4, increases the secure site density to thousands by using a highly scalable certificate store. It enables administrators to create and manage large quantities of secure sites easily. And it allows support of the SNI standard, which allows multiple SSL protected websites to share a single public IP address. Now think about that. I can have multiple numbers of SSL protected websites to share a single public IP address. Now, if you think about that, that is incredible in reducing our costs, both internal and external hosting, and increasing our site density, and also reducing the cost of IP components. So where before I had, you know, under an SSL environment, I had to define a IP address to that customer or to that application, to that usage, whether they're internal or external, I can now use SNI to have a single IP destination and then just route based on the virtual access. I can then route the customer to their exact environment. So you can see it's a very exciting technology that we continue to support with Windows Server 2012 R2 in really providing that multiple SSL protected websites to share a single public IP address. Our next thing, of course, is around NUMA scalability. And NUMA scalability is non-uniform memory architecture, and it refers to a computer architecture in the multiprocessor systems in which the time required for a processor to access memory depends on the memory's location relative to the processor. So in fact, NUMA provides a couple of key capabilities. A processor can now access local memory, that's memory attached directly to the processor, faster than it can access remote memory, and that's memory that is local to another processor in the system. Modern app OSs such as Windows Server 2012 R2 and high-performance applications such as SQL Server have now developed optimizations to recognize the system's NUMA topology and now consider NUMA when they schedule threads or allocate memory to increase performance. And projecting a virtual NUMA topology into a virtual machine provides optimal performance and workload scalability in a large virtual machine configuration. And it does this by allowing the guest operating system and applications, such as SQL, to take advantage of their inherent NUMA performance optimizations. So it's very, very exciting technology that we not only just see utilized in web architecture, we see it also spread across our entire Hyper-V range in supporting huge virtual machines out of the box. So again, really providing a lot of scalability both internally and externally. Now, our last thing was around centralized SSL certificate support. Now, why is this so important? Well, the concept here is that I can now share support SSL certificates in a simple file share, which means I can now provide a simple share, have all my IIS servers point to that share and update those certificates effectively on all my IIS servers by updating the share. So this really provides on-demand elasticity for secure web farms by storing these SSL certificates in a shared folder, and then it will automatically bind them to our web applications. This is incredibly beneficial, of course, to web hosting providers or enterprises with large web farms. And because now admins can now manage SSL certificates as files, they can update these simply by copying them and replacing them. It also eliminates the need to configure an SSL binding because the web server automatically uses the SSL certificate that has the file name that matches the domain name. I mean, basically SSL certificate support ensures there's just one IaaS service binding because the name in contract, which is the common name, is used as the file name of the certificate. So this really allows the naming convention for each website to automatically use the SSL certificate on the shared folder with a file name that matches the website's host name. And it also must match the CN of the certificate. And also, the great thing is certificates are now protected by using file permissions and a global password that is shared by all certificates. So when it's time to update the SSL, as I said, we just simply copy over the expired certificate. And you can see some examples of that as I move through. This is my configuration of where the centralized certificate settings sort of live. My SSL bind and my final SSL binding configurations. So this is a really great way to reduce time in supporting lots and lots of SSL certificate sites that we may have both internally and externally. Now, one thing I mentioned before around large web hosting was the Windows Azure Pack, the idea of delivering websites as a service. Now, the Windows Azure Pack is very, very exciting because it provides a number of great things straight out of the box. If you think about Azure and some of the great investments we've made in Azure, we've provided a number of great key technologies, but Azure is built on Windows Server. It uses Hyper-V. So the concept is we can take some of those great investments that we've provided in Azure around scalable websites as a service, around simple IIS out of the box, and we can bring them on site into your data center that is running Windows Server, that is running System Center. And the great thing about here is the idea is our key technology is utilizing our core layer around Windows Server, my core IIS infrastructure, and then this API layer that allows you to tie this all together in a very dynamic website administration farm and a great end-user tenant experience. So let me give you some examples of that. So with the website with the Windows Azure Pack, it provides a number of great things out of the box. One, it's fully scalable. It provides incredible high density and secure web hosting. Whether you're an enterprise or whether you're a hoster, what it enables me to do is continue to add IIS servers into my web hosting environment, which will be fully configured via the templates that Windows Azure Pack provides. In fact, I can link this in with my System Center bare metal deployment and actually have servers up in minutes from bare metal to provide extra capacity both for my shared and my reserved infrastructure. It provides opening publishing methods and protocols. And this is a big thing. It's a fully integrated and open solution. The great thing, because it's fully automated, it lowers customers' onboarding costs and streamlines upselling. So the idea here is if you're a hoster, you can bring your customers on board because you've got massive efficiencies in the way you're now supporting high density websites with this pack. So it will lower that customer onboarding costs. And then you can actually now provide many values and services, again, through the same API services that Azure Pack provides. It also provides the ability to distinguish between shared and reserved. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. It's also fully flexible. It supports PHP, Node.js, and also ASP.NET. So again, you can provide a flexible choice for your customers based on the application platform that they want to use for their applications. Out of the box, it has metering, so you can provide lookback and chargeback services, and also throttling of resources, so you can ensure exactly what we talked about before around web application platform, that you can provide services for what customers pay for, or ensure that that applications are protected in their environments. It also has a fully integrated web application platform. We just don't stop in providing websites, create a website with a database. There's this fully integrated open source web application environment that allow your customers to say, quickly create blog sites, social media sites, database sites, content management sites, tracking sites, out of the box, utilizing fully integrated services that can have these up in a matter of minutes from the first time that they click on. Now, I talked a little bit before about scaling an automation within WAAP or Windows Azure Pack around shared, and effectively, the management portal, the portal that you would use in an enterprise or a shared, it can be used to scale websites and specify whether they can run in shared website mode or reserved website mode. So you as the administrator will set this environment up around your IIS infrastructure, and then a customer, if you've given them the ability to do that, can then determine exactly how their web application works. So a customer may go through a evolution and say, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is have a shared instance. And this idea, a shared mode, is when a website is first created, it runs in this sort of shared mode, meaning that it shares available compute resources with other subscribers that are also running websites in that shared mode. Now, a single instance of this website, website configured in this shared mode will provide somewhat limited performance when compared to other configurations, but it should still provide sufficient performance to complete development tasks or proof of concept work. Now, if a website that's configured to run in a single instance using shared mode is put in production, the resources available to that website may prove to be inadequate as the average number of client requests may increase over time. So before putting a website in production, we really need, you know, customers sort of need to estimate the load of the website which would be expected to handle and consider scaling up or scaling out the website by changing the configuration options. And that's the key here, scaling up or scaling out by changing the configuration options. So I can now quickly and easy scale this website up based on my configuration. So for example, I can take this shared infrastructure and I can move it from an instances from one instance to two instances to three to four to five based on what I really want to provide my end divisions, you know, my end users or my end customers, to provide them further instances of their IIS configuration based on that shared environment. So this gives them that ability to do some estimation of customer usage and ensure that they have capacity to meet their customer usage. But the big thing is, what happens if they want to move into a much more reserved environment? When they want to move outside of that shared environment and they want to really scale up their website to run on a single dedicated core with access to things like additional memory, disk space, and bandwidth. And the Windows Azure Pack really provides that completely out of the box. So for example here, let me give you an example. With the new solutions, you can now provide in Windows Azure Pack reserve. So our customers or our end users can now choose reserve, which means their IIS resources, application resources, are now running on a reserved instance, which is fully isolated for them. And you can determine exactly what this instance is, whether it's a small or medium or large. And that means how many CPU resources, storage resources, memory resources are allocated to that reserve instance. This is a really phenomenal thing. I can also scale reserve instances counts, where before I could scale my web application on my website's count in shared, in my shared infrastructure, I can do the same thing in reserve. And I can have multiple numbers of reserve instances which are shared for that application configuration, really supporting the capacity that I may need. Phenomenal flexible solution. Built on Azure, now available for you running Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center 2012 R2, of course. Now, just to really round this out, you know, around flexibility, as I said before, we have some phenomenal solutions for .NET, of course, within the Windows Azure Pack. It just works with PHP and Node.js. It has integrated open source software apps such as WordPress, you know, Numbrico and .NET Nuke, and a bunch of other things as well. But the good thing is it embraces the web standards. It provides standard-based support. It's great for asynchronous operations and client-driven web apps. And it's an excellent, excellent choice for rich HTML5 applications. So let's think about now some of the technologies around the web application platform, which both hosters and enterprises will deem as important as each other. One of them, of course, is consistent and repeatable configurations. We really want to now help ensure consistency across web farms. When I deploy a new IIS server, I don't want to manually configure it. I want it to be automatically configured. But I want to actually provide a very rich visual way for me to create those configurations. And we do this by three cool things: the shared configurations, configuration editor, and our script generator. So let's have a quick look at some of these. When we think about consistency through shared configuration, we think about a number of things. One, I can now support a configuration file which I create with a configuration editor in a single environment. You can see here that it's a file share. I can also then determine a user component that can access this. But the big thing here is that when I deploy a new IIS server, I can then automatically configure this to look at the shared configuration. So where, you know, in my organization, where I deploy, say, an IIS server and I have a specific way I want to set up application pools and the ports and other things such as that, I can now support that all into this shared configuration environment, ensure it's fully secured, and that IIS server will be completely configured and up and running before I know it. If I think about now my ability to do repeatability, this is where our great configuration editor that allows us to make those visual editing changes. So a great tool out of the box that allows you to create that shared configuration file, support that, and publish that, really providing that repeatable process for consistent and automated actions. It can also generate managed code, JavaScript, command line, and also PowerShell scripts as well that I can use in things like my desired state configuration, which is another new technology we introduced in Windows Server 2012 R2, which you can learn more about in the server management environments. All right, so let's finalize with ecosystem and extensibility and what that means. Well, as I said before, we want to ensure that it's just not .NET, that it's just not, you know, Microsoft-centric applications that are best in class, that are first citizens in our IIS platform. We do a lot of work to ensure ecosystem and extensibility across the board. We embrace web standards and a common development platform, so it makes it easier to work more easily with PHP and Node.js applications. So if you want to develop on PHP, you can do that, supporting in our IIS infrastructure. So let's have a quick look at some of these and what they mean. It's now really easy to build symmetrical and hybrid applications on-premise and in the cloud because we now support a set of common development tools. So if you think about this, it's two things. One, it's program symmetry. We now have program symmetry between on-premise and cloud environments, and with the ability to use the same development model for Windows Server 2012 R2 and Windows Azure. So with program symmetry, developers can now work in a single unified environment to build solutions that can either focus on Windows Server or Windows Azure. And these tools can be used across web, application, and data center tiers for locally deployed applications for private and public cloud solutions. Now, if you add WAP into this as well, anything you configure, develop across that symmetry will be both supported in our IIS web application environment, our Windows Azure Pack environment, of course, in our Windows Azure environment, and a hosters environment that are utilizing the Windows Server and System Center tools. And with these common development tools, with Microsoft Visual Studio and Microsoft Team Foundation Server, we're now providing a rich development experience to offer .NET developers a complete environment to build cloud and on-premise applications as part of our solutions. In fact, if you think about support for multiple development applications, I mean, Windows apps are now designed for more specific form factors and gain leverage from the power of Windows operating system. And a subset of the .NET framework is now available for building apps with a new Windows UI utilizing C# or Visual Basic, and we call these the .NET APIs. You can see there is a ton of technology that was added as new features and improvements to the Common Language Runtime and also the .NET Framework classes. And you can learn much more about these and how they're utilized in our IIS technologies in our MSDN environment, where you can go through the full extensibility frameworks and the support that we now provide, both in ASP.NET and other applications as well. So how do we get started? Well, we want you to download Windows Server 2012 R2. Of course, we want you to download System Center 2012 R2 as well. Windows Server 2012 R2 is going to provide you this core, you know, websites platform, this core application platform. System Center 2012 R2 is your key management technology, both for virtualization management, health and protection, and monitoring with various technologies, extending that with automation, service ticketing, enterprise knowledge, you name it. The combination of Windows Server and System Center really provides you an enterprise class data center solution for you to build your cloud infrastructure and fully integrate that both into your on-premise and public cloud environments. You can also learn more about at the Windows Azure Pack by looking at some of the various URLs. So with that, I want to say thank you very much for listening with me today. I hope that we provided you some really good information about the new web and application platform technologies that are available in Windows Server 2012 R2. Really, we just scratched the surface, which is what's available, you know. But please delve in, learn more, experience our online experiences, download our demos, try our evaluations out, and really provide your end users or your customers the best experience possible utilizing Microsoft technology. Thank you.